Mark?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Bob? Scott?
Excused.
Jay?
Here.
James?
Here.
Okay, it's now time for the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to item three on the agenda, and I'd entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from our November 4th, 2024 assembly meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimously approved. Item four, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda presented to us this evening. I'd entertain a motion to proceed with the agenda as presented to us.
We'll move.
Second.
Seeing no changes. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Brings us to item five, public hearings. We have two public hearings this evening. The first public hearing is for ordinance 2024-22, an ordinance clarifying that property obtained by foreclosure and which the assembly determines to sell is exempt from sale procedures and requirements of Petersburg Municipal Code chapters 16.12 and 16.16. Any public testimony regarding this ordinance should be given at this time. Anyone in the audience would like to participate in this public hearing? And we have no one zooming in, Clerk Thompson, or?
We do not.
Okay, seeing no interest, that public hearing is closed. Second public hearing is for ordinance 2024-23, an ordinance amending chapter 14.20 of the Petersburg Municipal Code, municipal harbors, to adopt provisions regarding inactive vessels. Any public testimony regarding this ordinance should be given at this time. Seeing no interest in the audience, and just state your name and who you represent, please.
My name is John Merkus. I'm representing my business, Petersburg Marine, and two other leaseholders at the Scow Bay turnaround. The ordinance is a good one. It's a no-brainer. I'm in favor of you passing it. You do have to recognize that a significant portion of the vessels that you're addressing are in the early stages of abandonment or being derelict. And it's a universal problem among all harbors, probably throughout the world. We have at Scow Bay facilities for hauling those vessels. We have space for storing them. We have equipment for dismantling them if necessary to haul them off to a landfill. We do not have the tens of thousands of dollars to finish a vessel that has been abandoned in our care. And so I don't have any solution for that. But you need to, I think, address it and I think encourage some discussion on it. It's going to be an increasing problem for this community. And maybe if everybody puts their heads together and tries to collaborate, we might be able to come up with at least partial solutions. I think that's all I've got.
Testimony this evening. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to participate in this public hearing? Public hearing is now closed. Item six on tonight's agenda, bid awards. There are none this evening. That brings us to item seven, which is persons to be heard on items related to tonight's agenda. So is there anyone in the audience that has comments on tonight's agenda? Persons to be heard on items unrelated to tonight's agenda. Does anyone in the audience have items unrelated to tonight's agenda they'd like to speak to? Seeing none, we'll move to item nine, boards, commission, and committee reports. And we have a report from the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, representatives from Petersburg, Assemblymember Bob Lynn, and Utility Director and SEPA Board Member Carl Hagerman. So, Member Lynn.
Hey, thank you. We had a meeting here a few weeks ago. There's a couple of things I want to, the notes are in the packet, but there's about three things here I'd like to address and specifically. And one of them has to do with, we approved a contract. As I've said before, we're going into reauthorizing the two facilities we have, both Swan Lake and Taiyi. It requires a total review by competent engineers to look at the dam facility, to look at everything, essentially the flows, what we have, how our upkeep is, et cetera. It's about a five-year process and it's very expensive. Probably for each reservoir, it'll be somewhere $5 million plus. And what we did is we approved a contract at this one to hire an outside consultant who will be with us through the whole process on these reservoirs. It's simply such a gigantic job to do that we need outside consultants. And they also bring in expertise of which we don't have on board. That's one item I wanted to address. The second item has to do with, we looked at also that our finances, going back when, once we, when we had the submarine cable failure, we had an insurance policy, thank golly, for part of it, which covered $5 million of that $14 million job. But since then, nobody's willing to insure any kind of submarine cables or anything of that sort. So we're required to be what we call self-insured. And to do that, that means that we have to be able to cover the cost of a cable of the longest length of which we have under the water out here. And right now, to give you an idea of the figures, it's about $14 million. And that's obviously going up. What the board decided to do was, is since we have to be self-insured, we have to do this, we really need to take a look at our investment policies of how, what we do with this. And we've just done that. And with that, the board approved a process. We're going to change the investment policy. The idea being is to look at look at shorter term investments, which give more return on the dollar is one of them. And to, rather than to have, you know, separate pots for different parts of these funds, we decided to combine them all. The idea being is that we're not only more liquid, but then we have our investment policy can change such that we can invest in higher returns on those. And so the board approved those along with having the CEO relook at that investment policy and what we've done at each year that we revise the budget. Those were the two great big items on the agenda that we covered. We covered some more ground, but there's one other item I want to talk about, and which is not on the agenda. As some of you may know here in the state, that we're encouraged, the various municipalities are encouraged to look at some kind of data centers. And when you do that, obviously data centers require a significant amount of power. Wrangell has been approached for a small data center that would use a small amount of energy at this point. And I understand there was a meeting held in Ketchikan here that I believe the mayor was at.
During Southeast Conference.
Conference. I don't know much about the details. Do you have anything you want to would say, Mark, on it?
Just that the state was very interested in this type of infrastructure. They'd rather, help provide money to produce power for something like that, like a data center, instead of like a cruise ship dock where their load spikes up and down, be a nice level load. But it just depends on what energy we have. And I can't remember the name of the company, but the owner was there, and then Miles Baker was lobbying for him. And yeah, they say they could be from a small facility to, you know, whatever we have power to support.
And I think it's a good idea myself, but it raises a whole bunch of questions, which I think we're going to have to address down the road. And that is that Taiyi Reservoir, for instance, if Wrangell got that center, Taiyi Reservoir is dedicated between Wrangell and Petersburg. And so under the power sales agreement, I think we got to take a look at how that, if that became an issue, how that power would be allocated, one. And two, I think we also need to look, right now, we have a problem in December, January, because we max out the power to the three communities. And so how, I don't believe we could put any kind of a data center online during that period, because we need to protect our own, the interests of the community of itself. And so that's another part of that needs to be looked at. But my understanding, having just been down south, my understanding is that the concept of data centers is changing, and the idea being is that moving those to smaller communities, because the power to the large cities and so forth is essentially being maxed out. The idea being is that if you can spread that around the country, then you can change the way, not only the configuration, but the way the modeling, the programming, the modeling is done for the computers for AI, is my understanding. And I know just about enough about it to make me dangerous after I've attended a couple of meetings down south. And that's about all I got, unless you have some questions.
And I believe Utility Director Hagerman, you've been researching the data center issue a little bit, and I've read your email, and it's an interesting concept.
It is, Mr. Mayor, and I have been trying to get a handle on it and understand all the ins and outs. I think Assemblymember Lynn is correct that if a data center were to come online in any of the SEPA communities, it'll be a need to try and sort out what kind of agreements might have to happen between these communities and SEPA, potentially, or between the communities themselves, especially between us and Wrangell. We share the power out of Taiyi Lake. It is dedicated to us if we have customers to use that power. And so I think we're on pretty good footing there. But in the wintertime, as Member Lynn mentioned, when we don't have excess hydro, we have to go on diesel to support that load. So we have to figure out how that's going to happen if there's just a data center in Petersburg or just a data center in Wrangell. It's an interesting concept, and I think it has potential.
Part of the discussion at the meeting in Ketchikan during Southeast Conference, Ketchikan had representatives there in Wrangell, and I was there from Petersburg, and it was pretty interesting. They said some of them, it's not like it's a huge footprint. It could be the size of a gem locker, you know. And one of the benefits, if you put it in a building, for instance, that has hot water, you know, baseboard heat, takes water to cool these data centers. So but the water's warm when it comes out of them, and you could put it into your heating system and supplement your heating system. So that was an interesting concept, I thought. So. Any questions of the members of the SEPA board? Thank you, Mr. Member Lynn. Item 10 on tonight's agenda, consent agenda. There are no items there. Report of other officers, mayor's report. We're seeking letters of interest. The Petersburg Borough is accepting letters of interest from citizens who wish to serve the community as board members to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, SEPA, for calendar year 2025. The Assembly will appoint one voting member and one alternate to the SEPA board this year. The Assembly is also accepting letters of interest from citizens who wish to serve the community by filling one of the vacant seats on the following borough boards until the October 2025 municipal election. Parks and Recreation has one vacant seat, and the Planning Commission has one vacant seat. Letters of interest may be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the Borough offices located at 12 South Nordic Drive or by sending to Post Office Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833, or by emailing to dthompson@petersburgak.gov. Happy Thanksgiving. The Borough Assembly wishes everyone a happy and healthy Thanksgiving holiday. May we all remember and cherish that we are thankful for in our lives. Chamber tree lighting event. The Chamber of Commerce will be hosting the tree lighting event on November 29th in the Municipal Building parking lot. The event begins with food vendors on Nordic Drive at 5 p.m. Parade lineup with goodies and candles between IGA and Petersburg Properties at 5:15 p.m. And the parade kickoff is at 5:30. Come and enjoy the fun. And that's all I have for the mayor's report this evening. So I'll turn it over to the manager for his report.
Thank you, sir. We have a few positions open at assisted living, a swing shift, and three overnight positions. So if people are interested, go see Derek or Becky here. We received a letter from OSHA. They're actually focusing on assisted living facilities throughout Alaska and other places as well. We're actually going to take advantage of their OSHA consultation process. This brings OSHA in. They review everything just like they would normally in an inspection. They tell us what they find, but it doesn't go against our record. It gives us an opportunity to fix it and helps that process move a little smoother, and we don't have to worry about enforcement action if in fact they found anything. Reminder to boat owners, the harbor staff has been cleaning up floats of water hoses and clutter to make way for snow removal. Also call the harbor office with your boat watching information as vessel owners start to travel out of town. Harbor staff is touching base with owners with vessels of concern, reminding owners to prep their boats for winter and snow freezing issues. Staff just reminding people not to park in snow removal areas, otherwise vehicles will have to be towed. And youth basketball season is in its finals. Stephanie traveled to Anchorage to present at the Land Manager Forum, showcasing the funding that PIA has contributed to the Petersburg community and focusing on parks and rec trails side of the contribution here in Petersburg. We will be hosting another lifeguard course November 22nd through the 24th and attending some meetings with Respect Engineering regarding the Aquatic Center sewer repair project. We're hoping to break ground when we close for the annual cleaning and the maintenance closure in May. Parks and Rec is gearing up for the colder weather. The ice skating pond has been filled and the lighting system has been tested. Power and light staff are still working on submitting information for the Section 243 Hydro Efficiencies Grant. The process of inputting all the required information into the federal grant websites has proven difficult, but Power and Light is working on this and making headway. Power and Light staff are working through the various end-of-year FERC reports and plan updates. And a big thanks to the fire department for allowing Power and Light to use the training room for a recent electrical safety session for the line crew and other Power and Light employees. We will be doing another round of AMI meters installed here in town pretty soon. And the line crew has been working on trimming trees to avoid unnecessary limb contact with the lines and the outages that those contacts cause. FERC is requiring additional analysis for a seismic hazard analysis study that was completed last spring. Power and Light is working with the original geotechnical engineers on the follow-up work. Horizon Associates have been retained to design an addition to the Scow Bay storage building so that Power and Light may get more materials and supplies out of the weather. Our Public Works crew replaced 23 surface plants on the Rasmus-Inge Bridge. They also applied metal banding to several pilings that have been identified as split during the recent state inspection. We are in the process of identifying cross bracing that needs to be replaced and will then order the lumber. As you may have noticed, Martin and his crew have identified a suitable Christmas tree and has been set up outside waiting to be decorated. So thanks to them and all the work they do to make that happen. Most of our motor pool fleet has had their winter tires installed. There are still a couple of hospital vehicles that need to be changed over. And facility preparations for winter heat tapes and sand ice melt is occurring at each borough location. The initial lead service line inventory has been completed with much assistance from the DEC. This inventory will be updated over time as buildings are added to the existing infrastructure and the older structures lines are updated and renovated. The wastewater biosolids permit has been finalized and submitted to DEC. They are currently backlogged and it will be several months before we hear back from them. Justin and Dennis will be going out on the security boat, or actually they did go out on the security boat on Thursday, November 14th, to locate the outfall with a basically a underwater drone, as well as investigating the additional 7 testing sites as identified in our discharge permit that we'll have to check. And the Finance Department has mailed out the 2025 applications for the senior citizens sales tax exemption. Went out to 487 seniors that have a tax sales tax card in 2024. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Questions of the manager on his report this evening? I don't see any, so we will move forward on the agenda. And item 14 is unfinished business. Ordinance 2024-19. This is an ordinance amending chapter 4.30 of the Petersburg Municipal Code, Alaska Remote Sellers Tax Code. This is the third and final reading. If approved, this ordinance will adopt the Uniform Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Code by reference and provide that the Assembly ratify subsequent amendments to the Uniform Code within 120 days of adoption by the Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission. This ordinance was passed unanimously in its first and second reading. I entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So, second.
So moved.
There's been a motion and a second. There was a number of them, so whatever the clerk wants to write down. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-19 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. Excuse me. That brings us now to ordinance 2024-20. This is an ordinance amending chapter 14.30, Mountain View Manor Elderly Housing and Assisted Living Facility, to institute a new assisted living community facility fee to be used for facility maintenance and repair, to require that 2-bedroom assisted living units be occupied by 2 residents, and to increase certain fees. This is the third and final reading. Adoption of this ordinance will create a one-time community facility fee of $2,000 for new residents moving into the facility, which will be used for facility maintenance and repair. Just for on a side note, we amended it so if the people paid the fee and they were there for less than 6 months or up to 6 months, they would get their money back.
On a prorated basis.
Pardon me?
On a prorated basis.
Prorated basis, yes, exactly. And will require that future rented 2-bedroom, where am I at here? Got lost. And the food cost will go from $350 a month to $450 a month, and we'll add a security deposit for assisted living units and provide for late fees. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Valentine. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-20 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. That brings us to ordinance 2024-21. This is an ordinance amending chapter 16.16, Tidelands of the Petersburg Municipal Code, to provide for updated provisions regarding the disposal of tidelands and submerged lands. This is the third and final reading. Because the economic value of Petersburg's tidelands is great, this ordinance is written to provide that the sale of tidelands shall not be made for consideration less than the appraised full and true value rather than the assessed value, and to clarify the sale process to ensure any sale of tidelands is in the borough's best interest. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
I have a, can I propose an amendment here?
We can do that after we get the motion on the floor, please.
Perfect, perfect, thank you.
Okay, a motion's been made by Member Stanton Gregor, I believe.
Second.
Seconded by Member Schwartz. And there is a proposed amendment, so Member Marsh.
Thank you. I would propose that we, and the phrase that says the sale of tide lands shall not be made for consideration less than the appraised full and true value rather than the assessed value, whichever is greater. I would like to add that phrase in there. Because it would be in the borough's best interest to sell it at the greater value if the assessed were to come in, you know, one would be more top heavy than the other. So we have, it shall not be made for less than the appraised full and true value rather than the assessed value. Typically, the assessed value is less than the appraised value. And I don't know if it would be in the assembly's interest to clarify that, to say whichever is greater.
Okay, so the motion would be just to add some language that would say, sell it not for less than the full and true value rather than the assessed value or whichever is greater.
Correct.
Okay, so that would be the motion, just to add or whichever is greater in that sentence. Or in the section.
That makes sense to me.
Okay, so is there a second?
I'll second it for some discussion.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to make this amendment. Discussion. Just simple language change, but I guess it would be in the best interest of the borough to sell it for the most money. Any discussion, other discussion on this amendment? Clerk, call the roll to add that language in that amendment.
Hey, Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, that amendment passes. We will add that language. And there's also an amendment that was drafted for this reading at the request of Assemblymember Lynn to provide that in case of a sale of tide lands by public auction, the individual who has the highest bid and purchases the property shall pay for all costs associated with the sale. So Member Lynn, would you like to make that a formal amendment?
I would. Thank you.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Discussion on that amendment. Member Lynn?
Yeah, my reasoning behind this is that if somebody comes in, makes a proposal to buy it, but yet it comes up on the market and we decide to go for bid, and there's three or four bids and that individual doesn't get it, I think that individual should have his original fee back, but the individual who got it should be able to pay, should pay that fee, and that's where I was going with it.
And that would include the appraisal fee on the property as well?
Yes.
Okay, any other discussion?
Yes, I do have a question on that.
Member Marsh.
If I might, if someone would clarify for me, please, would this then that the successful bidder also pay for the application fee, the original application fee?
Go ahead.
They would pay for their application fee, and the application fee, would it be refunded, or are they non-refundable to the other applicants?
All application fees are non-refundable. And if it is a public sale, the person who wins the bid, offers the highest price, doesn't necessarily have to have put in an application. Just because you put in an application doesn't mean you're the only one that can bid on that property if it goes to a public sale.
Depends on what the assembly decides to do, what form of sale.
That's correct.
Okay.
So no, the application fee would not be refunded to anyone who has paid it, no matter what.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on that amendment? Clerk, call the roll.
James?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, now we're back to the main motion, the ordinance 2024-21, as amended. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, another item D under unfinished business, ordinance 2024-22. This is an ordinance clarifying that property obtained by foreclosure and which the assembly determines to sell is exempt from sale procedures and requirements of the Petersburg Municipal Code, chapters 16.12 and 16.16. This is the second reading. If adopted in three readings, this ordinance will clarify that the procedures and requirements of the code, chapter 16.12 and 16.16, do not apply to the disposal and sale of property obtained by the borough in foreclosure proceedings. This ordinance was approved unanimously in its first reading. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second, approve this ordinance in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Schwartz, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-22 passes unanimously in its second reading. That brings us to ordinance 2024-23. This is an ordinance amending chapter 14.20 of the Petersburg Municipal Code, Municipal Harbors, to adopt provisions regarding inactive vessels. This is the second reading. If adopted in three readings, this ordinance will impose storage fees, a marine condition survey, and proof of insurance on vessels in the harbors that are deemed inactive. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Lynn. Discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-23 passes unanimously in its second reading. That brings us to item 15 on tonight's agenda. That's new business. First item under new business is a resolution, 2024-15. This is a resolution supporting full funding $5,740,408 for the State of Alaska Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Program, excuse me, in the fiscal year 2026 state capital budget. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. Oh, Member Stan Gregor.
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to briefly state my support for this. And for those who don't know, the Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Program is a wonderful one. And as with the resolution after this, having it been adjusted for inflation will be great. But I think it's anything we can do to support that in the capital budget, I'm in favor of. This seems like the least we can do. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Okay, that resolution passed. Brings us to another resolution, resolution 2024-16. This is a resolution in support of raising the maximum available Alaska Department of Transportation Harbor Facility Grant funds to $7,500,000 for eligible projects on an annual basis. If adopted, this resolution will show the borough support for Governor Dunleavy and the Alaska legislature to amend Alaska Statute 29.60.800 to raise the maximum harbor facility grant fund award from $500,000 to $5 million to $7,500,000 per eligible project to account for inflation since 2006. I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Valentine. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Thank you.
Passage unanimously as well. That brings us to item C under new business, assembly slash Hospital Board Work Session. Assemblymember Lynn requests to schedule a work session with the Hospital Board in January 2025, sometime after January 13th. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this request.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Lynn. Member Lynn, since you put this on the agenda.
I did. Hospital Board would like to have a session with us to discuss the ongoing not only the ongoing operations, but also the building that's in the funding that we currently have and what they're looking at for the future. In talking with Director Tao, we'd like to do that sometime before we get into budget sessions. And in talking with the Hospital Board and Phil, sometime between January 13th and the end of the month would be great. So if we could pick a date and go with it, they're open to anything as long as we can meet on whatever it is, evening being better.
So I would assume that work session will be held in the Assembly Chambers. Is there openings in the Assembly Chambers the last half of the month of January?
Yes, the only thing we have booked right now, Mayor, is the 20th is an assembly meeting at 6 p.m. and the 23rd is a hospital board meeting at 5.
I suggest we have it on the 24th, Christmas Eve. Or done. I was thinking December. Sorry, I'm just being a wise actor. So anything works for me. I mean, I would prefer personally evening, an evening.
How about 6 p.m. on the 27th, the following Monday?
That would be fine.
Just throw that out there.
I like that. Right. Does that work for all the assembly members?
Yeah.
Assembly chambers are clear, it sounds like. So we could go with that, 27th at 6 p.m. Okay, that brings us to, maybe we'll have a formal vote on that.
Okay.
To have a meeting on January 27th at 6 p.m. with the Hospital Board, a work session.
Jay?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda, communications. There's very few communications on this agenda, but we make a habit of not reading those communications. But if people are interested to see what has been sent to the assembly, go to the packet or go on our website, and they're all posted there. So assembly discussion items, any discussion items from assembly members or comments? Any assembly members have any comments this evening? Recognitions.
Please.
Member Stangreger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to recognize the many student athletes in both middle school basketball, Parks and Rec, and Viking Swim Club that had very busy weekends. And I would also like to recognize all of the adults, both volunteers and paid employees, for all of those that were very busy for Thursday afternoon till Sunday afternoon. So much goes into making those events successful. And witnessing that firsthand, it is most impressive, the dedication so many people show to the children of Petersburg. So just a huge shout out to everybody. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to echo that recognition. Any other recognitions?
Mr. Mayor, back here.
I've got one, probably the same one you were going to give.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'd like to, unless you want to give it.
No, go for it.
I'd like to recognize the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department and the Harbor Department for responding to a fire in the South Harbor on the fishing vessel Carol B. And luckily, it didn't get out of control, so smoke damage, but thanks everybody for their effort. And I'd also have a recognition to the support friends of the NRA and NRA Foundation. They've had many fundraisers here, and since 2015 to 2023, they've given $121,374 to Petersburg. A lot of it goes to the Devil's Thumb Shooters and other miscellaneous improvements on the range, etc. So those are the recognitions I have. Are any other recognitions? None. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Everybody's anxious about, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye.